What is going on, people of the interwebs? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 18, otherwise known as Episode Number 43 of the Reverent Babble Podcast. And just to let you guys know, I did check like way in advance before, like 2 minutes before we started recording, because that's what I usually do, is I wait to like 2 minutes before we hit the record button before I said the episode. But I did check for this time, and now I know. So with all that being said, welcome to another episode of the Reverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
And this is Cody Kelly, who paints pictures already.
Yep.
This is Neil Huntley. And yeah, Cody's not having the Devo today, so he said, well, I got to get me a picture painting in here somewhere.
Yes,
so he was,
for sure.
And that was a beautiful picture that you painted, explaining how you figured out what episode number it was.
Well, thank you so much, man. I really do appreciate that. And first off, I want to apologize if this is your first time listening to one of our episodes. This is not how our intros usually go. I just thought I'd change it up, and I just hope this isn't your first time. But if it is, glad you're tuning in.
Yes,
for
sir.
Sure.
Yeah, man. So, and also, if you hadn't noticed, it's where there's not a delay in between me and you talking.
Right.
This week, because we're back in person.
We're back in person again. Yay!
Yeah. So the first time was because, you know, I was in quarantine with my family.
Right.
And last week was because I had a busy afternoon and couldn't get over here, and we had to do it later. But now we're here. We're in person.
We are both officially back in the same, like, actual room this time.
That's
instead
right.
of pretending like we're in the
That's
same
right.
room this time.
And we're recording an hour earlier since my job's on summer hours now. So we get a little bit extra time, which is a good thing to have for something like this, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, man, so it feels good to be back in the studio and good to be back to seeing you three-dimensionally instead of on
yes,
the screen.
I know.
And not having to
Same.
Rely on my 10-year-old MacBook to pull the powers through the podcast. But yeah, man, so it's good to be back. So what's new with you?
Well, let's see. Like, since I graduated, obviously, I guess it's been almost 2 weeks now, because mm-hmm. I mentioned last week's episode I graduated. So I graduated from Stanley Community College with my 2-year degree. So that was obviously really cool. But pretty much since then, not really too awful much has happened. I've basically just been kind of working on the first forms and all that kind of stuff, getting ready for whenever I transfer to Wingate in the fall. So that's not really that, you know, fun
yeah.
to talk about, obviously, but that's really what I've been doing this past week. I've obviously been working the cameras for the lift here recently too, so I've been doing that.
Nice.
And Flex, that's been pretty cool, you know, to kind of get back in the action on that. But something that I want to talk about that is going to be happening in the next week is that for me, I'm going to be going on a vacation next week in Florida with my family. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, summertime's here. It's ramping up for everybody.
Yes, it is, for sure. And this is a summer I'm going to definitely try to take advantage of, for sure, just because, you know, this is my last, I guess, summer before things really get heated up
it's all downhill from here. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
your summer,
thanks for the nice encouraging words, man.
Well, I mean, not to be a Debbie Downer, but your summer breaks are slowly dwindling away.
Yes.
You know, when we're kids, we think they're infinite, you know?
Right.
And if one thing takes up too much of our summer, we don't want to do it, you know, and we'll take summer a day at a time and, you know, just some days sit around and do nothing, and some days, you know, sleep until 10. And
right.
Yeah, those days are slowly coming to an end for you.
And that is one of the things that I'm not looking forward to about getting older and stuff like that. I'm like, obviously, I'm looking forward to getting older, you know, learning new things, you know, getting a job, you know, doing those challenges, you know, just getting used to the slowly transitioning to that. But that's definitely something I'm definitely going to miss is those big old couple month breaks, for sure.
That's right.
I'm going to definitely be missing those. But yeah, so like I said, we're going to be going on a vacation next week to Florida, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be going to a Tampa Bay Rays game next week, so that'll be fun. So I'll get to join all 210 fans that are going to be there. So that was a very specific number. But
so they're still kind of restricted down there?
Well, from what I saw in the ticket sales, not all sections were available, so I don't know if that means for some reason there's a lot of fans who bought them, which I doubt that. So I don't know if they're going to still have a lot of regulations down there or not. Now, when I did purchase the tickets, what they did say is they were going to use COVID protocols, but I bought the tickets like 2 weeks ago, so I don't know how much the protocols have changed since then. I haven't looked at the Rays like website or whatever to see like what, you know, what changes in protocols may have happened or whatever.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I think it's going to be, you know, kind of, you know, more COVID regulated, you know, I guess kind of similar to what it was when we went to the Hornets game.
Right, right.
Recently.
Well, I mean, if you look at, you know, the Rays games for the past 10 years, they've had restrictions, obviously, because
right.
there's like 12 people there anyway. So
That's true,
they just have 210 good seats, and the rest of them, if you sit them, they just fall apart. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it is Tropicana Field, so.
Well,
who was, but I mean,
that's true.
But either way,
yeah. But either way,
you're going to have a good time. It's going to be. Whoa, an odd sensation to watch a baseball game inside.
Yes, for sure.
I've never seen that firsthand.
I haven't either.
I know you haven't.
I haven't either. So this will be fun for me for sure.
That's going to be interesting. But that's going to be fun. You say they're playing Kansas City too. So that's a team that you wouldn't normally get to see if you went to like a Braves game or something like that.
Right, for sure. Yeah,
that's even more cool that you see a team that you wouldn't normally see.
Right, for sure. As far as teams I've seen live, there's only been like one American League team I've ever seen play live, and that was the Red Sox back in 2018 because they were playing the Braves. I just wanted to, you know, go down there and watch them play live. But really, other than that, all the games I've seen played have been between National League teams. So I've never seen like a fully American League game before. So it'll be kind of cool to actually see DHs play instead of, you know, pitchers hit. Because I've been to, I think, two Braves games here recently, and I went to one Nationals game, and we went to Washington, D.C., I think in 2017 is when that was, and that was between them and Milwaukee. So that was another National League team I got to see. You know, so that's definitely pretty cool. I'll be able to go to an American League game, like you said, and you know, kind of see teams that you wouldn't normally see, you know, or teams that, you know, people around here are used to, especially.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool, man.
For sure, man.
That's going to be fun. So you're going – when are you heading on vacation?
I'm going to be heading out – this coming Friday, so on the 21st. Yes. And I'm heading on the 21st, and then I'll be coming back that next weekend.
Well, cool. Well, I guess I'll have to get Parrish or somebody to
help me
do a little short episode next week, right?
Yeah, and that would definitely be something I would obviously, you know, want to listen to and pay attention to for sure, but don't you try to replace me in 1 week, okay?
Yeah, well, same goes for you the week after, but I'll get there in a second.
All right. Well, that sounds cool. That sounds good, man. So, what's new with you?
Well, since the last time we recorded, it's been a pretty chill week. Which is good because it's starting to ramp up, just like with you. Summertime's here.
Right.
Things are opening up. You know, we don't really have to wear masks anymore, which is kind of, you know, encouraging to see.
I mean, but like to me, at least at this point, it just feels strange too, just because I've gotten so used to it over the past year plus now. It's just not strange in a bad way, obviously, but just strange. Having to think about that again, mm-hmm. because the mask thing's been, you know, around for so long, I just kind of instinctively grab a mask when I leave the house. And, like, obviously I'm going to still do that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have to worry about literally going anywhere and having to think about a mask, which is, you know, like I said, not strange in a bad way, just kind of strange to not have to think about that constantly anymore.
Right, yeah, because the day they said we didn't have to in North Carolina, in most places anymore.
Right.
Me and Scott went and played golf. That was on Friday this past week.
Okay.
We went up to Old Sycamore, so off 218 heading into Mint Hill.
Yeah.
Beautiful golf course.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking news, Scott Kendall is extremely good at golf. And he's probably listening to this and probably shaking his head, but Scott, you shot a 75. Yes, that's very good.
Okay. Yeah.
He shot a 75.
Yeah, I was about to shot a 75, 30. Dude. I mean, what's the normal, like 72?
Yeah, par 72.
Yeah, par 72. So you're literally three over, and man, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, but we had a good time. I shot 92, which I was very proud of. Okay, I hadn't played golf in over a year, and I only lost, I think, four balls. And I asked Scott, I said, plus or minus seven, that's how many balls I'm going to lose. And he said, I'm going to go with under. I said, I'm going to hope for the under. And so I did. I went under.
Nice.
I went under seven.
So awesome.
That was the goal. And I broke 100, so they were good. So, you know, we were good. It was a good outing, and it was fun to hang out with Scott. Friday, and we're planning a Braves trip later on in July. Me and him, we're going to go down, and we're actually going to watch him play the race too.
Nice.
But this, we'll be in Atlanta, outside.
You'll be seeing him in the outside, so you'll be in hot Atlanta because it'll be in the middle of July.
Oh, it's going to be warm.
It's definitely going to be warm in Atlanta.
Thankfully, those games don't start till 7:30, so it'll be a little bit cooler. But
yeah,
I got that later on in July. I guess I'll start at the beginning. So, like, it's coming up this weekend, which is the weekend you're headed out to Florida.
Right.
Me and my brother-in-law, Greg, we're going down to Atlanta to watch the Braves play the Pirates.
Nice.
And so these are the tickets that Amber got me for Father's Day, like an early Father's Day gift.
Nice.
And me and Scott were originally going to go to this coming weekend, but he's one of the coaches for baseball out of Forest Hills in Marshville. And they had some games get rearranged, and they have to get the games in before the kids are done with school. And so they have a doubleheader on Saturday.
Oh.
So they you can't miss that.
No.
And so that's why we scheduled the Rays games later on in the summer.
Nice.
But we got that coming up. Then the next weekend, I'm going to Charleston for my anniversary trip with Amber.
Nice. That'd be awesome.
And then the week after. So then there's one more week. And then that the week after that is I'm on family vacation at Holden Beach. So I'll be going that whole week. Okay.
Okay. And that'll be the week that I'll have to find someone else to talk with on the show.
That's right. That week. Yeah. Don't replace me that week. And then I think there's 2 weeks that go in between, and then we'll be going to Caswell.
Yeah.
Which is late June, and it goes into July.
Yeah.
And then I got the Braves trip with Scott in late July.
So it definitely seems like you're going to have a pretty busy summer, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, man. And I think that definitely goes for both of us, too. I don't go on as many trips as you do. I just got a lot of, vacation-type trips, but, I got a lot of stuff I got to do, for sure.
I'm rarely am I going this often in the summertime.
Right.
And it's kind of an odd sensation, but it's fun at the same time. Like I can't tell you. I think the last time I went to Atlanta for a Braves game was, 2013 or 14 at the latest.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's been a while.
It's been
a good while. And to not only go to one game, but go to three games. And, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
On top of the anniversary trip with Amber that we always go to Charleston, and then our normal family vacation in Holden Beach.
That's awesome, man.
It's busy, but it's fun. I'd rather be busy than bored at the house,
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be
definitely
going to be a good time. And plus, it's good to know that we can go out and do these things and not have to worry about stuff as bad as we used to,
Right.
Is COVID still around? Sure.
Is it
as frequent as it used to be? I don't think so. I think it's slowed down a little bit.
Right.
Hopefully it stays that way. And, but I think there'll be more than 200 people at the Braves game I go to this weekend.
Probably so.
Especially with it being alumni weekend and, Andrew Jones and Fred McGriff and guys like that.
All those guys are going to be there.
There's going to be a good crowd.
Sometimes it's going to be a little bit more crowded
than
the Rays game I'm going to be going to. Yeah, for sure.
But it's going to be fun, man. Absolutely. But it feels good to be back here in the studio to get an episode in. I got the Devo coming up here in just a minute. We're going to talk about our good buddy Paul that wrote a good bit of the New Testament. And then we'll talk some sports.
All right, man. Let's do it. All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And for this week's Devo, like we just mentioned a few seconds ago, it will be Neil giving his Double Play Devo, and we're going to be talking about Paul.
Yeah, which is, it's a very common person to talk about,
Right.
Of course, talk about Jesus, talk about other people like that. But Paul comes up quite often in conversations.
Right.
Especially when it comes to how we ought to act as Christians and,
Right.
things like that. But it's been fresh on my mind because the Wednesday before I was in quarantine, we were talking about Paul in church.
Yeah.
And then last Sunday, we talked about his letters. I did like a two-part thing, Sunday school, Sunday morning, talked about his letters and who were they written to? There were different ones written to churches, some written to certain individuals. And so I just figured while it was fresh on my mind, talk about Paul one more time.
Right.
Because once I get back from Holden, on Wednesday nights, we're going to start a study in Romans because I thought about doing it beforehand, but Romans can just be super in-depth, and I don't want to do a week in between where, Jody or somebody else fills in for me that Wednesday night,
right?
And we skip a night, and then we lose the momentum we had. Not saying that Jody would kill momentum or anything, but I wouldn't give her the having to do a Romans study because not saying she can't handle it, but, I feel like I'm digging a hole, Cody.
Basically what you're saying, is that the Romans thing is obviously your thing too, but it's something that you know where it's going.
Right.
Someone else who steps in wouldn't necessarily know what your mindset is as far as how you want it to go next week.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying they do it wrong, they just wouldn't maybe do it the way that
I wouldn't want to put any unneeded pressure on anybody.
Right, for sure, absolutely.
So we'll start that when I get back from Holden that Wednesday night after that. So that'll be fun. But, of course, we know Paul wrote the book of Romans with 12 other books in the New Testament, right? It's 13 total letters. In case you didn't know, and I learned this as I studied more about Paul to get ready for Romans and to talk to y'all about him and stuff like that, the books, his letters are organized in the New Testament. They aren't just thrown in there. Like, oh, we found Romans, put it in there. We found First and Second Thessalonians, put it in there. They're organized by size and type and who they're addressed to. So the first majority of them are written to churches and the different areas upon which he
right.
went. And then the last few, I can't remember the exact number, but they're written to certain people, like the letter to Timothy.
Like to Timothy, the Timothy, to Timothy yeah. and Titus.
And Philemon. Yeah. And So those are written to certain people. And those are people that he left to be pastors at certain churches in these cities that he went.
Right.
Know? So it's really cool. And this, you know, some people are like, well, I wonder, you know, who's the letter that he, or like, who's the people he wrote to in the book of Philippians? Well, he wrote it to the Philippians. It's Paul's a very simple person when it comes to titling stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
And so,
as far as Paul goes, he can paint a picture, but he uses a lot fewer words than me.
True. Yeah. You do Bob Ross paintings.
Yeah.
He does stick figures with colored pencils. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So he'll draw a picture, but he's just like, here's the facts. There it is. Okay.
Right.
And you say, well, here's the facts, but here's how you get to the facts.
Right.
So, yeah. So we're all different, and we're all made just the way God made us. So yeah. So but about Paul. So I want to start out by saying this: Paul's a pretty rough dude. Was.
You know, oh yeah.
He had a pretty notorious reputation before his encounter with Jesus.
Yes, he did. That's for sure.
What do you know about Paul beforehand, which was, he was named Saul then. So what do you know about Saul?
Well, I know that Saul was the guy who held the coats for the people that stoned Stephen. That's where, and that's where he was kind of first talked about
right.
in the Bible. And I know that he was like very familiar with the Old Testament scriptures because he was like, studying to be a Pharisee or Sadducee, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But he was like in that area and he was like very familiar with the Old Testament scriptures and kind of that way of thinking of that. And so whenever all these Christians start popping up and they're believing something that's different from the Old Testament scriptures, he kind of made it his mission to kind of get rid of that, as quickly as he could. He tried to, persecute Christians and, he arrested them and just a really bunch of bad stuff to them up until his encounter with Jesus.
Yeah. Saul was a very intelligent person.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely intelligent. Knew the Old Testament scriptures. He was studying, be a Pharisee. It was right at the grasp of being one. And, an extremely devout Jewish person and was very... I hate to say stuck in their ways, but I mean, that's what the Pharisees were. They were very concrete on what you did each day of the week, and don't you dare do something on the Sabbath, right? And, everything's in the temple, all this stuff. It was more ritual than it was faith,
Right.
It was more so the repetition of what them and their ancestors did years and years before, rather than having faith in the God that they praised and worshiped and the God that got them, where they were at that time.
Right.
And they were so blinded, Saul and other Pharisees were so blinded by their routines that they didn't see the Messiah that God had promised them forever,
Right.
That was right there in front of them because Saul lived on earth the same time Jesus did, okay?
Right.
Now, we don't have much evidence, we don't have much, if not any evidence, that Saul and Jesus had like a conversation with each other while Jesus was physically alive on earth. Notice I said physically because we're going to get to another part here in just a second.
Right.
But, yeah, so you talked about with Stephen. Yeah, he was pretty much responsible for the death of Stephen, and he imprisoned, he threw people out of their house. He killed people for believing in Jesus.
Right.
You know why? Because Jesus went against, well, not really against, he thought Jesus went against everything the Jewish people stood for. No, he was there to fulfill everything the Jewish people that were doing up until that time,
Right.
That was the goal of Jesus, to come and save the world and to show people, especially the Jewish people, that all this stuff that you've read about, all this prophecy, all this stuff, hey, I'm here.
Right.
I'm going to raise my hand. I'm here. So you don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. You just have faith in me. And me and you will be in paradise,
Right.
But like I said, Saul and the Pharisees were so stuck in their ways that they didn't see the true light.
All the stuff that they were reading about and the prophecies that were in the Old Testament, Jesus came to make those prophecies fulfilled.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So in all of that section of this Devo, Saul pretty rough dude, okay?
Yeah.
And he did some pretty gnarly stuff, okay?
Yeah, that's for
and
sure.
So we're going to pick up in Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And this is where, you remember I said, now we don't really know for sure if Saul and Jesus had a conversation while Jesus was physically alive. So now we're going to go to another level because they did in fact have a conversation, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to start reading chapter 1. I'm just going to kind of read here and there, and I might bounce around a little bit, but it's not going to be too much. Verse 1 says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying from him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" This is Jesus talking to him. "And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told, what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with Saul stood speechless, and they heard the voice, but saw nobody. Verse 8 says, "Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing." So his sight was taken from him. Okay,
right.
And later on, he went on to Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. And picking up in verse 10, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, that he might regain his sight.'" So Ananias goes to Saul, finds him, he gives him his sight back through the Holy Spirit working through Ananias. Okay.
Right.
Ananias was a little hesitant on doing this because he knew who Saul was. Okay.
Oh yeah.
He probably had some encounters with Saul, probably got away from him too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he knew that he was going completely against what, you know, the disciples were doing. And so, but he above all else trusted God. The Holy Spirit worked through Ananias to give Saul his sight back. Once Saul was converted, he went by his Roman name, Paul. So that's where Paul comes from.
Right.
And ultimately, the guy that was one of the roughest guys that we read about, you know, that persecuted so many Christians, turned around and was one of the greatest missionaries ever. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Because he went on, I think four or five journeys.
Yeah.
Okay. He was thrown in prison a couple of times. You know. Went to countless places, went to talk to the Colossians, went to Philippi, went to Thessalonica, however you want to say that I in there,
right?
Depending on what part of the world you live in. He went to so many places and stayed numerous times. He went to the Roman Empire. Okay. That's where the book of Romans comes from.
Uh-huh.
He went to the Roman Empire to preach the name of Jesus. You know how gutsy that is?
That takes a whole lot of guts.
Yes. Especially back then when the Romans were actually in the Jewish territory trying to, you know, tell
the Jews how to, like, you know, like how to think about stuff
Roman standpoint.
Right.
So to go into the quote unquote motherland of that day, that took some guts and that took a lot of faith. And, you know, above all else, anything in this lesson I want you to take from Deus Lo Devo is that you're never too far from God to be used by God. Okay?
Right.
I mean, and I'm trying to just kind of get my words together, but...
Oh, it's fine.
You know, like I said, Paul's a rough guy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Jesus could have just looked the other way and said, "I need to find somebody better that has a little bit better history than Paul,"
yeah.
You know? And there's no way we could use him, but no, he didn't do that. He saw Paul as the ultimate example of anybody being able to be saved by God. Okay.
Right.
And probably he saw Paul as an example of, well, if he can be converted, anybody can, you know, as in like the people that Paul would talk to. Well, that Paul, kind of like how Ananias was this guy, you sure about him? Yeah, I'm very sure about him. And, you know, I guess it was just, you know, an example for the people that Paul preached to, that if this guy can make a change, I can too. So we're never too far from God to be used by God. You're never unusable, okay?
Right.
You just have to hear that calling when he calls you to be used. Will it be an encounter walking down the road like it was with Paul? No, it might not be. Yeah, and it could be, either way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a little more subtle. Sometimes it's a smack in the face like that was.
Right.
Literally, probably, you know, probably felt like a smack in the face when he lost his sight.
Yeah.
But as long as you answer that call, you're not unusable in God's sight. You were created with a purpose. We all were. You know, I joke about you painting pictures. God created you the exact way you're supposed to be, to be a storyteller, to give every little detail. I mean, you're a stat nerd. Of course, you're going to give every little detail, okay? You know what the weather was in the 1946 World Series, probably. I don't know. Don't test me.
Okay.
But you're created for that reason. You're created to give every detail, okay?
Right.
And we're all created for different things. None of us are unusable. It's when we turn our backs on God that God just don't call as much as he used to. So when you hear that call, don't say, God, I've done too many bad things. No, he wants you. He longs,
oh, yeah.
He longs for that relationship with you. So answer that call. All right, it is sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is
the weekly score. There we go.
Delay free because we're in person. All right, Cody, let's talk some NASCAR to start off the weekly score.
All right, let's do it.
We had the weekend at Dover this past weekend.
Yes.
And that's about the only cool thing to do in Delaware is to go to a racetrack.
Yeah, I know.
This is referencing a movie. I've had to woe myself twice today, Cody. This is referencing a movie that outdates you for sure. Almost barely outdates me, okay? A movie called Wayne's World back in the day. And they're practicing in front of a blue screen, pretending to be different places. And they're like, oh, I'm in Texas. Let's go get a steak. I'm at California. Let's go surfing. And it comes, oh, look, now we're in Delaware. And we're in Delaware. So, I mean, that's about it, is to go to Dover and watch a race. But they don't call this the Monster Mile for no reason. This is a very extremely tough racetrack to race at. All concrete.
Ooh.
They literally have a mascot out front called Miles the Monster. Okay. And usually, it's a ginormous statue. If you haven't seen it, you need to look it up. And usually whoever won the last race at Dover,
right,
they have like a copy of the car, like a life-size copy of the car that the monster's holding, which is really cool.
Oh,
and like last year when it was Jimmy Johnson's last season, they had the 48 car up there, which is cool. So
yeah,
check that out if you hadn't seen that before. It's really cool to see.
That's really neat.
But I tell you what, you know, we talked about it. Darlington was just a good old rear-end whipping for Martin Truex,
yeah,
because he dominated the whole thing. This was a Hendrick Motorsports rear-end whipping this weekend. Hendrick Motorsports cars finished 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
In case you didn't know,
that's funny.
There are 4 Hendrick Motorsports cars, and they finished top 4. Okay?
That's funny.
We had Alex Bowman, speaking of the 48, he won the race, and he's already matched his win total from last year, okay,
nice,
which is impressive.
Yeah.
Really cool to see the 48 winning multiple times in a year after Jimmy Johnson was on such a skid there for a little while.
Right.
Then we had Kyle Larson, who has just been burning it up, man. I mean,
I know.
I'm trying to think of how many top fives he's even have.
Even when he hasn't won, I was just about to say, even when he hasn't won, he's been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this is his back-to-back second-place finish. You know, he came in second behind Truex at Darlington.
Right.
So he's absolutely tearing it up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, people wondered how he would come back into the sport, you know, especially with different, like, racing packages that are way different than the year before he was here. And, you know, he had that little, you know, incident last year.
Yeah.
And, but he's tearing it up, you know.
Oh, I know.
And he's just racking up points and a back-to-back second place finish. Impressive. He also had a very good chance to win this race, okay? He had a really good chance to kind of bump Bowman up the track, but he was a good teammate and didn't do that, okay? Because I've seen teammates do that to each other to win a race. And sometimes when they do that, they take each other out and somebody else wins, you know?
Right.
So props to Larson for not doing that.
Yes.
And letting Bowman get the win, because second place in that situation, still pretty good to do.
Oh, yeah.
Third place was Chase Elliott.
Yes.
And this is his best finish of the year. If don't hold me to it, but he's been kind of quiet this year.
I mean, well, like, that's what I was fixing to say. I was about to say, like, we haven't heard much at all from Chase Elliott this year. you know, like obviously when it comes to wins, you know, but just like talking about him in general, because really up until this race, he hasn't even been close to the top either.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's just weird.
And I mean, he's the last Hendrick car to not have a win this year, because
right.
Bowman's won two.
Yeah.
Larson's won a race. And Byron's won a race.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of Byron, he finished fourth.
He finished fourth, right.
And I think he had probably the most consistent run out of everybody, probably next to Harvick in this race, because looking at it right now, Byron started third, finished fourth. Not a bad run, especially
nope.
at Dover. Bowman started 16th, finished first. Larson started fourth, finished second. Chase started eighth, finished third. And Byron started third and finished fourth. Logano had a really good day, finished five,
yeah.
And Harvick six, and then Hamlin seven. Hamlin's still, I'm pretty sure he's number one in points still. He's still racking up the points.
Right.
But you know who I thought had the two people who had the most impressive finishes this week?
Who?
The first one was Daniel Suarez, okay? How many times have I mentioned Daniel Suarez?
I think this is probably maybe the first time this year. I was about to say, if not the first, the second.
If
for
I
sure.
did, it was about the Bristol Dirt Race. You know, because he had a really good run there. But he finished ninth. He finished top 10. Okay, that's really good for a brand new team that really doesn't even own their own car. They're kind of leasing it right now.
Yeah,
okay? That's really cool. And 11, Bubba Wallace. Okay?
Yeah,
he got out he broke the top 15, which is a solid win for him this week.
Oh yeah,
and a great confidence booster. He was even getting in the way of his boss man out there. Okay, because Denny was trying to pass him, and he wasn't going to let him pass easy. And Denny was getting a little frustrated with him, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
So they do this thing every week, and I'm sure it's already out. I just hadn't watched it yet. It's a thing called Radioactive. Okay, it's on YouTube, and they compile the highlights of like the scanner radio compared to what's going on in the race. And you can watch that back. And sometimes it's really intense. Sometimes it's super hilarious. I'm sure the encounter with Denny and Bubba is hilarious on there. I'm sure it's got to be on there. But yeah, props to Bubba and to Suarez for getting solid wins. Or not solid wins, but solid finishes this weekend.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
My heartbreaker, though. The biggest heartbreaker. And I got to scroll down to here. There he is.
That's what I was fixing to say. I haven't heard a certain name that you usually mention.
I'm about to bring it up. Chase Briscoe.
Yep.
He started 17th, finished 35th.
Ooh.
Because he wrecked at the end of the first stage, and he wrecked pretty bad. I think he finished down 64 laps. I think he got back out there. I won't lie, I didn't see the majority of the race just because we had some other stuff going on
right.
Sunday. But yeah, that was a heartbreak for
him.
That's probably the toughest race he's had this year for sure. But you know, I talked about how the Hendrick cars finished 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
So there's another racing team out here that I wouldn't say is as good as Hendrick Motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
And Parrish knows who I'm talking about. It's called Rick Ware Racing. And I have never mentioned that on here, have I?
Nope. never.
For good reason, okay? But their cars who start with Cody Ware, Garrett Smithley, James Davison, and Josh Balicki, they finished 31, 32, 33, 34.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a tale of two teams,
uh-huh.
Cody. We got one team finishing 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we got this other team
like finishing really close to the bottom.
Basically last,
uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah, basically.
And man, this team is so frustrating to watch because, you know, I don't want to discount what stock car drivers do, because I did it one time for 5 minutes at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and that was the most intense 5 minutes of my life where I felt like if I didn't have my foot on the gas, I was going to go into the wall, you know,
right?
Because that's just absolutely exhilarating. But these guys, compared to the other guys out there in the Cup Series,
right,
they're just riding around, okay? I've seen better races in downtown Monroe on 74, okay? These guys would cause a wreck on Roosevelt Boulevard, Cody. I mean, that's how bad they are, okay? They're literally just riding around.
Oh, man.
I mean, they're not even trying to compete. You got guys that would probably almost do something illegal to get in the Cup Series, yet you got these guys that are just basically riding around to not tear up their cars, but they tear up each other sometimes and tear up other people's cars, and the owner collects a paycheck because he's got somewhat of an advertisement on there. But, yeah, so it's a tale of two teams. We got, we got Hendrick, and then we got Rick Ware. And that was funny to see. And
yes,
it's got to be frustrating to have the same guys that hold up the rest of the pack every single week. you know.
Right.
And I think next year with the new with the next gen cars, which look awesome.
Oh,
by
yeah.
the way,
they're,
I think
yeah,
hopefully fingers crossed it'll weed out some of these teams that are just there to ride around. Because if you're in the Cup Series, you need to be in there to compete.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to ride around, go to Xfinity. Go to the Truck Series, okay?
Right.
You get money there, too, all right? But, unfortunately, their priority is an IndyCar, not NASCAR. As kind of, I think it's more so just a publicity thing, make some extra money.
Right.
And go on about it. But, yeah, so that's about all I got for NASCAR this week. We're going to a brand new track this week. We're going to a road course. It's called COTA, Circuit of the Americas. Okay, that's what it stands for. It's in Austin, Texas. It's 20 turns.
20 turns.
20 turns.
20 turns.
It's a road course, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Brand new track. Well, brand new to NASCAR, okay?
Right.
And there's some guys that, you know, never did road courses until they got to the Cup Series, and they don't take them too well. So we'll see
right.
how that goes. It's going to be intense probably the first two or three laps because there's some of those turns up there. They're going to miss them, guarantee. They're going to miss that turn, go right into the grass, into if there's sand up there. There's hills on this track. It's going to be wild. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, man, for sure.
Can't wait to talk about that.
Right, yeah, for sure, man. That's going to be crazy. Hey, wasn't there some news about Keselowski?
Yes,
you
there was.
Talk about?
Yeah, I completely blanked on that. Me and Parrish were just talking about that today. So, Parrish, if you're listening, Cody's out of town next week. Me and you need to link up and get on. You need to get on the show next week so we can talk some racing. But anyway, so, yeah, he sent me this earlier, and that blew my mind to see. So Adam Stern, he's on Twitter, and he tweets a lot of NASCAR news. That's mainly what he does. But Brad Keselowski has been offered a driver/co-ownership role with Roush Fenway Racing.
Wow.
Okay, so we know he drives for Penske, which is like one of the power teams in NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
But he's been offered a driver/co-ownership role with Roush Fenway. That is Chris Buescher and Ryan Newman. That's the team that they race
right.
For next season. Keselowski's future has been the source of increasing speculation in the garage in recent weeks as he has been talking with different teams. That's what Adam Stern put on Twitter earlier today. That would be interesting.
Yeah,
last year, he didn't have a guaranteed deal for this year until like halfway through, almost into the playoffs, I want to say, where he signed another one-year deal with Penske because a lot of people were speculating that maybe he was going to end up in the 48, Everett Hendrick.
Right.
But that would have taken a whole lot more paperwork and
a lot more stuff
to get
through
because he had been switching manufacturers from Ford to Chevy.
Right.
This, still Ford.
That would make that transition to teams a whole lot easier.
Yes.
As far as this car and all that stuff goes, too.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's kind of hard to picture Keselowski in something that's not a number two car.
Right.
I mean, for the majority of his career, he's been Penske number two. You know, he's had some other rides here and there with different teams, but that's when you think of Keselowski, you think of the number two car.
Like, that's been his thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, to see him to go drive with Roush Fenway, who, you know, that name rings a bell with you.
Oh, and yeah.
Both those names ring a bell with me. Fenway, of course, with the Red Sox organization.
Yes.
And Roush with, you know, Ford, which is kind of cool.
Right.
And that would be a really good deal for him to take.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I told Parrish that
that'd be a great
that's
deal
kind
for
of
him
hard
to
believe that.
That,
you know, his future's in speculation. That's just that doesn't make any sense to me. But,
right.
You know, I agree with Parrish. Parrish said that he should take it. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Not only driving, but part owner. I mean,
right. I mean,
that's a huge deal. So, I don't know.
Absolutely.
What's going on with that? That's really all we know so far. Maybe me and Parrish can break it down a little bit more next week as the week goes on,
right?
And have some more information. But seeing Keselowski in a different ride next year, that would
it'll
be a
be strange.
To see, along with several other new cars that are going to be out there, especially with the next gen. There's teams that are waiting in line to get into the Cup Series, and I think a lot of them were waiting for that new car to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why a lot of people thought it was 1 year too early for Michael Jordan to get in, because what's the point of doing just 1 year of this generation
1 year of
car?
This and having to do a next – yeah.
Exactly.
For sure.
So, but I could sit here and talk about the next gen car all day, but I know we don't have time to do so.
Right.
But yeah. But so that I tell you what, the free agent market in NASCAR is already heating up. Yeah, I mean, last year it was on fire at the end of the season, and this is just a spark. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
All right, Neil, let's talk some basketball.
All right.
The NBA regular season has officially ended.
Yes.
And it is time to talk about the playoffs, or I guess the play-in tournament to start out, because that's going to be here, because that actually starts tonight as this recording on Tuesday, and then once this podcast comes out on Thursday, it'll still be going on, and it'll kind of be finishing up the play-in tournament by the time this podcast comes out,
right.
And then like the official playoffs will, you know, start this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it is playoff basketball again, dude.
Yeah, it's an intense time if your team's in the playoffs. I mean,
oh yeah,
the few times the Hornets have been in the playoffs is, you know, I get all into it.
Oh yeah,
you know, every basket matters. All of a sudden, they know how to play defense. You know,
yeah.
they crank it up. in the playoffs, so it's going to be a fun time, and we got two of the playing games tonight. That's in Tuesday.
Yes, and it's the Hornets versus the Pacers, which is on at 6:30, and then the Celtics and the Wizards.
Yep, Celtics and the Wizards.
Yeah,
and so hopefully by Thursday we're talking about the Hornets somehow getting out of this. Okay,
right,
because it's going to be hard. You know,
it's going to be a very hard road just to get to the bracket.
Right. They had a extremely good chance to get into the 7-8 game on Sunday.
Yes.
And due to multiple times being up 20-plus points and giving the lead up,
yeah,
which is very frustrating to see.
It was very frustrating.
Now they're playing in the 9-10 game. So now they have to win twice.
Yes.
And if they lose once, they're done.
Yeah.
You know? So, but they got the Pacers on Tuesday night. Hopefully, foreshadowing, they have a win.
Yes.
I am looking on ESPN right now, and Indiana was on Thursday a 2-point favorite.
Yes.
So, it's right at 50-50. And the Wizards and Celtics, hopefully that'll be a fun game too.
Oh, yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But there's some of these that it's fun. It's going to have some madness to it. But it's a shame that some of these aren't just a one-game playoff. You know,
right?
Because Warriors-Lakers,
Warriors-Lakers is a like, I know we were talking about playoff series. This would be a series I would hope would happen like in the conference finals.
Yeah,
and it's a best of seven, because I would love to see a best of seven of this game.
That would be more intense to watch if that was a loser goes home game.
Yes,
you know,
for sure.
So that's kind of the Warriors. Well, they can win and still get in. You know,
uh-huh.
So that's crazy to see.
Right.
So what we talked about last week,
but still, it'd be cool to see LeBron versus Steph.
Oh yeah.
In a game like that, for
absolutely.
Sure.
So we talked about last week how it's a 7 seed versus the 8 seed and the 9 seed versus the 10 seed, which goes against everything that your mind thinks of when
exactly.
It comes to seeding and tournaments.
Yep.
You know, so I think this is a good start, but it still needs some tweaking. I think this is a good guinea pig for if they wanted to keep doing something like this.
Yes. I mean, well, Neil, probably the only reason they did it this way is so they can get a couple more games played, because if they did the 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, which is what you normally think of in this kind of thing, the winners of each would just go on, and then that'd be it. So by doing it this way, they got a couple more games that can be played.
Right.
I guess that's the main reason why, but I don't know. I mean, but as far as this system goes, I'm with you. I think they should tweak it to where it's a little bit more like what people usually think of when they think of a bracket style, you know, because whenever you see a bracket, you don't ever see the top seed play the
second seed, basically.
The top seed play the second seed.
So if y'all missed the episode last week, it's 7 versus 8, 9 versus 10. If the winner of 7 and 8 goes into the playoffs as a 7 seed,
yep.
The loser plays the
winner
of the
9-10,
and the winner of that game is the 8 seed.
Yes.
Okay. I don't see why you can't just move these 4 slots down a little bit and have 4 teams fight for the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, it's like,
right,
it's kind of like the first 4 thing in March Madness. Most of the time you're trying to fight your way in to be a 16 seed most of the time. Right?
Right.
So why not do a 4-team playoff to see who
can be the 8 seed?
Be the 8 seed.
Yeah.
It would make more sense that way. That way you could have the 8 versus the 12 and stuff like that to get in.
I mean, plus, too, be kind of strange because, like, for example, the Boston Celtics are the 7 seed right now.
Right.
Well, they lose, then the 8 seed Wizards then become the 7 seed, and then a 9 or 10 seed becomes the, you know, then becomes
the
8.
It's all over the place.
You just see people
switching.
It's
kind of like those,
confusing.
Kind of like those investigation boards where they have a pin here and a string here and a string here and a pin here. It's just all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but we'll see. Like I said, this is a good start on how to tweak the playoffs a little bit. But
right.
I think there's still plenty of room to improve. But it's going to be fun nonetheless. It adds a different type of flavor to the playoffs. And it gets more teams in. It gives more teams the opportunity.
Right, for sure, absolutely. And it's weird because, you know, because there's so many teams in this tournament, there's only like 10 teams in the league that aren't in this tournament right
yeah.
now. And if you're a fan of one of those 10 teams, you have to be feeling kind of bad about yourself, to be honest, because it's like, okay, two-thirds of the league is at least has a chance to be in the bracket or is already in the bracket. So if you're not in it, you're just kind of probably feeling not too good about yourself.
Yeah.
Which probably one of those teams is the Bulls, because the Bulls made all those trades and
right.
it didn't even result in a 10 seed bird. So for them, I'm sure that's kind of disappointing. But, you know, that's just something I thought that was kind of interesting. But as far as the way this playoffs is going to work, it's going to be May 18th through the 21st is the play-in bracket. And then from May 22nd until July 22nd, if it lasts that long, obviously, then that'll be the rest of the NBA playoffs.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, this sounds really biased, but it's not at the same time. I really hope that LaMelo Ball gets more than one game in the postseason this year.
Oh, yeah.
Just because on national TV level, it's not been very often this year because of his injury and things like that.
Right.
And so the game against the Pacers is on TNT, so that's a start, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But you get him on a national stage, I think he's just going to shine. I mean,
oh yeah.
And, you know, yeah, the Hornets don't have Gordon Hayward, don't have Cody Martin. They got everybody else. Miles is back.
Yes.
PJ is hopefully going to play better than he did Sunday. Bismack. And then.
I was about to let you know that Biombo's bad, but I guess you already figured that out.
Good for him. Yeah, good job. And then we still have Devontae Graham and Scary Terry. So, I mean, and we just saw where LeVert is out on Tuesday night.
Yes.
And I know it's kind of hard to talk about the preview of the game
when the game's already happened,
technically. But I'm excited for the game. Absolutely. I'm ready to watch it.
Oh, yeah, man. Same here. Like, no matter what happens, obviously, I'm looking forward to just watching the game and just seeing how this goes, for sure.
Yes, sir. You know, the Jazz are the one seed in the West.
Yes.
Right? They finished, what, 52-20?
52-20, yes.
Do you think they go far? You think they go far in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you got the bracket over here, don't you?
Yes.
So we got
– and and, like, as far as the playoffs themselves, we can talk about that. I mean, like, obviously you can talk a little bit about it next week, but, you know, two episodes from now, we can definitely go in more in-depth as far as the bracket and all that goes, because the first round will probably be almost over by then.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's possible by, like, the seeding and stuff, but you know it would be a fun Eastern Conference matchup?
What?
Nets and Knicks. Because the Knicks are tearing it up.
Oh, I know.
And the Nets, when healthy, almost unstoppable. Well, and to have like a Subway Series between those two teams,
right.
That would be really fun.
Oh, yeah, man. That'd be extremely fun. Like, I guess to me, what's just hilarious is that the Knicks are a 4-seed.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like.
Who'd have thought that?
Not
you know,
me.
I mean, that shows how Thibodeau is just a great coach. You know, some people don't like him just because the way he coaches and the way he kind of carries himself.
Right.
But, I mean, to have a resurgent from Derrick Rose, of all people.
Oh, I know.
And Julius Randle.
And Julius Randle.
Deciding, hey, I'm going to play like I did at Kentucky, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really impressive to see the Knicks doing so well. And, you know, let's see. We're talking about the Sixers. The Nets, the Bucks and the Knicks are the top four. If you go back like 6 years ago, they're like bottom feeders,
right?
So I mean, that's crazy to see that now they're the top four teams.
Like, it's crazy to see the amount of turnaround that, like you said, all those teams have had, you know, here recently too. And like something else I was just gonna say is funny is that even if the Hornets win these next two games, they're gonna be playing Philly in the bracket.
Yeah,
so. If they make it that far, which hopefully they do, that'll be very interesting to watch for sure.
Yeah, I hope the Knicks do somewhat well. I don't want them to get too good and have another New York team to have to hear about all the time.
Yeah, I know.
We hear enough from the Mets and Yankees as is.
Yeah.
But since it's the first time they've been good in a very long
time. A very long time.
Probably first time in my lifetime in a while. I'm interested to see how that works out. The Clippers in Dallas, that's going to be a fun matchup.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's going to be really fun.
I'm curious to see how Denver and Portland plays out, because sometimes they can just be the same exact team.
Right. Like, it's always funny when you look at these matchups because, you know, there are teams who are so similar to each other that it's, like you said, it just looks like they're just the same team playing against each other like that. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how these first-round matchups go, and obviously this upcoming play-in tournament that's almost over by the time this episode comes out. But either way, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens for sure.
We'll see.
We shall see.
The the Stanley Cup playoffs have started, Cody.
Yes, they have.
And how the Carolina that? Hurricanes on Monday night beat the Nashville Predators.
Wow.
And
how about that?
You know, I'm a huge Hurricanes fan. I almost watched every second. I didn't watch almost every second. I almost watched every second. You know what almost means? It means I didn't. But I did keep up with the score. They won 5-2. You know what's the coolest thing about this matchup?
What?
Is that the abbreviations for both teams spell out NASCAR. Nashville, N-A-S, Carolina, C-A-R. That's pretty cool.
And, of course, that would make sense that you would find that for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the Hurricanes Twitter account tweeted it out. I was just proud to retweet it. Okay.
Yeah.
Very creative. Good job, whoever come up with that. But they did beat the Predators 5-2 on Monday night. They're up 1-0 in their series. And Dalton, this section's for you. And now we're done. All right, Cody, it would not be an episode of Reverent Babble if we didn't talk some baseball before we get out of here.
Why'd you sound like so depressed when you said that?
Oh, I was just trying to be very subtle and professional. Sorry.
Okay.
Hey, Cody, it would not be an episode of Reverent Babble if we didn't talk baseball on here. Is that better?
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's talk some baseball.
All right, man, that sounds good. Let's do it. I'm just trying to stop laughing.
So I know you'll go over power rankings.
Yes, of course.
But let's talk about the guy that you talked about in your devotion last week first. So he found him a new home not too far away.
Yes, he did. And for those of you who tuned into last week's episode, we did talk about Albert Pujols and, you know, his time with the Angels and just the impact he had on people while he was there. If you haven't listened to that, please be sure to give that one a listen. But with that being said, Albert Pujols, like you said, he did find a new home. It's just not too far away from home.
He kind of just found a new locker room, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Albert Pujols, after getting designated for assignment and then eventually released by the Los Angeles Angels like a week and a half or so ago, as of this recording of the podcast, it'll be closer to 2 weeks by the time this comes out, has signed with the other team in LA.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Dodgers, the defending World Series champions.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I was just like, okay, that just kind of makes sense. That just makes sense that the Dodgers would sign him. Like, obviously, there was talk of him possibly going back to St. Louis.
I think
that would have made a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping that.
I was kind of hoping he would go back to St. Louis, but I just didn't see where he would. You know, just the way the Cardinals are right now, I just didn't see a place where he would be like, okay, this is a good spot. Of course, I was surprised it was the Dodgers just because they're the Dodgers and literally all their roster spots are full of really great players. But right now, the Dodgers aren't really playing up to a lot of people's expectations, at least recently, you know, because the Dodgers started out season 13-2 through their first 15 games. And ever since then, they've just been kind of, you know, not so great. They're like right at 500, a little under 500 right now, you know, and plus two, they've been dealing with some injuries on the offensive side. You know, Corey Seager, their starting shortstop, he's going to be out for a couple months. So that automatically opened up a roster spot just by that by itself. But even if that wasn't the case, I think the Dodgers would have still been interested in Pujols just because obviously one, he used to play for the Angels. So,
right,
you know, he was already nearby, and two, just what he can bring to the team as far as like a mentorship standpoint and all that kind of stuff. And just kind of things like that. It was definitely really cool to hear that he was going to be signed by another team just because I was just hoping he would be signed in general. I just didn't want his career to end that way, you know? And so I was definitely glad that the Dodgers were willing to take a chance on him for sure. And Neil, it's just weird seeing him wear blue.
It's extremely weird.
It's just weird seeing Pujols wear blue. I mean, like, obviously it's strange to see him wearing an Angels uniform just because people think of St. Louis when they think of Pujols.
Yeah.
But at least the Angels are still red, so you can kind of get over that. But, you know, you going from wearing red to wearing blue and white, it just looked weird.
It was odd to see because he made his debut for the Dodgers on Monday night.
Yes.
Wearing number 55 because Seager's number 5.
Right. Corey Seager's number 5, so he had to pick a different number.
He got him a hit on Monday night, too, which was cool to see.
Yes. That was very cool to see, for sure.
Seeing him in Dodger blue, very, very, very odd sight for my eyes. Absolutely.
Extremely strange.
But, I mean, think about it. It makes most sense. That was the simplest signing for him to do.
Oh, yeah.
Would it have been awesome for him to go to St. Louis? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they still have Paul Goldschmidt, right?
And
he plays first base, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that spot's taken.
Right.
Who else plays first base for the Dodgers? Muncy?
Max Muncy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Max Muncy is really the main first baseman for the Dodgers. I think they do play a couple other guys there every once in a while. But as far as, like, a guy who they play more often, it's usually Max Muncy. But that's a good thing, too, for Pujols, because if the Dodgers want to switch out, they can play Muncy, because Muncy bats left-handed against righties, and they can play Pujols against lefties. And, you know, and Pujols throughout his career has been really good against left-handed hitters. Mm-hmm. So that would just kind of make sense to kind of put him in against left-handed pitching and just kind of see how he does in that regard, for sure.
Exactly. And, I mean, and it made the most sense economically, too. I mean, he does not have to go find another place to live for the rest of the season. You know, if he were to go to St. Louis, he'd probably have to find an apartment and finish that out. But, I mean, now he gets to stay with his family, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, you can't beat that, right? I mean, he's been in Los Angeles for 10 years. And, I mean, so it would probably have to take a heck of a deal to leave L.A. for one more round, basically, you know?
Right.
And so, I mean, he's on the Dodgers, who are still the favorite probably to repeat, okay? Even though they're in a little skewed right now, that's called baseball. And they'll get right back on the horse here in a little while. But I mean, it made the most sense. I can't blame the guy for wanting to do that. You can call him a ring chaser, you can call him whatever you want. I call him an older guy that wants to play baseball in L.A., okay?
Yeah, so, for sure, yeah.
And that was the simplest place to go, absolutely. So, I mean, I hope he does well. I mean,
absolutely.
I hope
same
he
here.
Does well. I hope the Dodgers don't do well. He can hit a home run every game as long as they lose, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, I think this is a great way for him to kind of ride off into the sunset. Maybe sign a one-day deal with the Cardinals and retire.
Right.
If he wants to do that. But, I mean, if you think about it, that's 10 years ago. It's been 10 years since he's been with St. Louis. People just, when you think
– Albert Pujols, like, you just think St. Louis because all his accomplishments there.
People my age think he met the Cardinals. You were very young when he left the Cardinals.
Right.
You know? But you remember him, but most of your life he's been with the Angels.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, people my age and my, like, little, I guess you call age bracket, tax bracket – we think of St. Louis, but I mean, it's been 10 years. So if he doesn't ever go back, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. That we just want that for nostalgia.
Uh-huh.
If the Cardinals were bottom feeders in the Central and had nothing else to do, they probably would have done it. Okay.
Right.
But he doesn't fit what they have going on right now. And that's just the way it is.
Right. And like, as far as the Cardinals themselves, I'm sure they were obviously interested.
Yeah.
You know, but just like you said, kind of given the position that their team's at right now and given especially that, you know, their first baseman's Paul Goldschmidt, who's
a little bit better than Max Muncy.
Who's just a little bit better than Max Muncy, for sure. Paul Goldschmidt's definitely a top first baseman in the league, so it's kind of hard to justify that for sure. Plus, two, just the way the Cardinals are positioned. And plus, two, like you said, you know, just from a geographical standpoint, I mean, you know, the distance from Angel Stadium to Dodger Stadium is like an hour.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, great. I have to drive an hour or more to work, you know, instead of a few hour flight across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that just made the most sense, not only from a, you know, financial standpoint, you know, and a geographical standpoint. It makes sense for the Dodgers too, you know, because the Dodgers need all the help they can get. Not sure how, but they can, obviously, still, you know, just because, you know, they're the Dodgers, obviously.
Yeah. While you're talking, I was looking at it's a whopping 45 minutes. Between Dodgers and Anaheim. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, there you go. A whole 45-minute drive.
So, it's pretty safe to say that Albert Pujols was obviously comfortable with this decision. I watched his press conference on Monday afternoon when he was officially introduced as being a part of the Dodgers. And that was obviously a lot of fun, you know, and he expressed multiple times he has no hard feelings towards the Angels organization for their decisions that they made. And he's just ready to play the best he can for L.A. or for the other team in L.A., the Dodgers, and to see how it goes for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get done, well, I know we mentioned Seager because he wears number 5, right?
Right.
And I have a funny story about Corey Seager that me and Scott were talking about at the golf course on Friday.
Okay.
I can't remember if Scott said he was at the game or if, like, his dad or somebody he knew was at the game. But either way, somebody was at a Northwest Cabarrus game because we know Seager played at Northwest.
Right.
And they were at the game, and MLB scouts were lining the fence on the right field side and left field. So, I mean, they were literally just, like, there was probably one for every team there. Okay?
Wow.
And Corey Seager's first at bat, Scott said that he hit a ball probably not more than 6 or 7 feet off the ground, laser beam, went straight into the outfield, hit the back wall without hitting the ground. Like just, I mean, this is the exact definition of a line drive. Didn't go high off the ground at all, went right back, hit square, backfield, center field wall. All the scouts wrote down in the notebook, closed the book, left. So, yeah, we've seen what we need to see. Yeah, he's still good. So,
yep.
So I thought that was kind of a cool story to share.
Wow. I just think it's funny that Corey Seager came into the league like literally 5 years after his brother did. No one even knows who his brother is anymore.
Because every time somebody brings him up, I'm like, yeah, don't his brother play for the Mariners or somebody? Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, like no one remembers older brother Kyle anymore. But obviously, helps he plays for the Dodgers too.
True.
There's a little bit more.
Like how Goldschmidt's a little bit better than Muncy. The Dodgers is a little bit better than the Mariners.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that a little bit's a lot of bit.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. Oh, and as far as the power rankings go, too, I want to talk about that just really quickly before we, you know, finish out the show, is that as far as the power rankings go, not much has changed towards the top, because I know we haven't talked about it in a couple weeks, but number one is the White Sox are ranked number one.
Wow. Imagine that.
They were ranked number three last week.
Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
And the number one team in baseball.
Well, like, see, I was honestly surprised they were ranked number one just because, I mean, I just don't see them as the best team in baseball right now. I just don't. I mean, they're one of the best, I'll say that. But I just don't see them as the number one ranked team in baseball, especially the fact that, you know, he's their manager, and he's made a lot of questionable decisions in his very short time there so far. You know, so I just think it's kind of strange, but I can see how they could be ranked maybe number five.
Yeah.
You know, like number five, number six, number seven maybe, you know, but not number one. That was definitely something I was a little bit surprised about.
Mm-hmm.
But the Red Sox, the other Sox team, they're ranked number two. And after, like I said last week, they were ranked number one. We had a little bit of a skid there in the last week, so we dropped all the way down to number two.
Bless your heart.
I know. Bless my heart, obviously. But something tells me that the Red Sox would have been ranked number one if we hadn't lost that last game on Sunday against the Angels when Shohei Ohtani hit that moonshot to right field against Matt Barnes. Man, that once I saw that home run, I'm like, okay, this dude is like an actual beast. I just haven't seen an enough of him play.
Right.
For sure. I mean, like, he's one of those players that I would just want to go to a game just to see him play.
Absolutely.
You know, just to see him play, for sure. Plus, it helps he's on the Angels, so I could go see him. So I could go see him play. I could see him pitch, and I could see Mike Trout play center field. That would be really
That would be cool.
Fun, for sure. But anyway, so the Red Sox are number two, and I'm definitely happy about that. Number three ranked team is the Dodgers. I'm a little bit surprised about that, just considering their record, but you kind of had to take in the fact that they have really great players on that team. They're just not performing to the standards that people are expecting them to play at right now.
Right.
But it's like you just mentioned a few minutes ago, it's called baseball. They're in a little bit of a skid right now. They're going to eventually get out of it. And plus two, with the addition of Albert Pujols on their team, I think it's going to bring a spark to that team. Just the fact that, you know, hey, we got Albert Pujols on this team, one of the greatest hitters of all time on our team, along with the players they already have. I could definitely see the Dodgers here in the next little bit kind of making a big old run at it, for sure.
Absolutely.
Ranked number four is the Houston Astros. They were ranked number 10 last week. I can maybe see that. You know, they've been playing pretty good baseball recently.
I haven't seen enough of them to have
I haven't seen that much of them either, but, you know, just watching them, highlights of them in the past week, they've been playing pretty good. And then number five is the Padres.
Nice.
Who were ranked number four last week, so they didn't drop too much. The Padres are kind of in the same boat as the Dodgers. Their record may not replicate it right now, but just with all of the good players they have on their team, they're gonna eventually get out of their little skid. They're not in as much of a skid as the Dodgers are, you know, but when you have a team like the Giants at the top right now, that for me, I did not expect that at all any point during the season.
I don't think anybody did,
right? For sure. You know, but just to see the Giants in first and two teams like that, who was basically the two teams everyone was number one and two all season to battle out for, it is kind of funny just to see that right now. But both the Dodgers and Padres are going to get out of their little skids and eventually, you know, be really good, for sure. And Neil, your Atlanta Braves are ranked number 15 in this week's power rankings.
Does not surprise me one bit. And it's not an excuse, but I mean, they're beat up. I mean, they got so many injuries, you know. Acuña's been hurt left and right. He hurt his hand against the Phillies, and he did something to his ankle.
Well, plus two people hurting their hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was basically speaking of players hurting their hand, probably one of your best pitchers so far this season broke his hand punching the bench.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that too much because that was one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard of. Because I've been really impressed with Waskar Noah.
Oh yeah,
and,
same here.
From pitching and at bat, I mean, he had amazing. He's got a really good batting average. He's hitting two home runs. Okay, one of them was a grand slam. Okay,
yeah,
I mean, he's doing lights out. Has one bad game and punches the dugout bench.
just seeing that by a pitcher in general was really cool to see all those homers being hit. But yeah, like you said, just doing something really weird and like you said, you know,
yeah,
you know, like that. Yeah, I know for sure.
His emotions got the best of him, to say the least. And hopefully, it's a very minor fracture. Right now, he's just on a 10-day DL, so maybe it's a little hairline thing. Get it done, because you know they're really particular about pitchers in their hands anyway. And I mean, if you're a right-handed pitcher, I don't suggest punching things with your right hand. How about that?
No.
So he'll learn from that. He'll learn to maybe go in the hallway and holler and get that out of him, and not hit something.
Or if you're going to hit something with your left hand.
Yeah, that too. That too. But, I mean, we just had Freed come back. We need to keep him healthy, okay?
Yeah.
We're trying to keep Acuña healthy the best we can, and the bullpen's just struggling right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the best – and 15 is perfect for the Braves because they're right in the middle, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Because –
their record's like pretty close to 500.
Well, that too. And it's just like one of my favorite movies, Forrest Gump, okay? Forrest Gump said that life's like a box of chocolates, okay? The Braves are like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get out of them, okay?
Yeah.
The one night, they're hitting dingers left and right, okay? The next night, the only hit they get is Max Fried's single up the middle, and that's the only hit they get, okay? So, I mean, who knows? But is it frustrating? Sure. But when they're on it, they're on it, man. And luckily, we're still in May. Okay, about to be in June. It's getting a little tight when you get later on into June, early July. But they got time to get this worked out, and they've been on a crazy stretch of games this whole month. I mean, they've played like 20. I think they're on track for like 28 games in 30 days. So that's crazy. That's a lot of ball games.
That's a lot of ball games in a very short amount of time.
Yeah,
that's
so, for sure. So hopefully, me and Greg can take some good spirits down there with them on Saturday, and
they can pull
out a win, because they got the Mets, I think, three more times this week, and then they do a four game with the Pirates. So that'd be fun.
I mean, well, plus two is the Pirates. Hopefully, that'll just allow you to kind of get, you know,
if anything, some confidence back in them. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely, dude, for sure. But that's all I got, man, as far as baseball news is concerned. I didn't mean to talk too much about it, but, you know, I just thought it was kind of interesting as far as Albert Pujols going to the Dodgers. That was obviously a pretty big deal in the last week, and, you know, the power rankings are obviously, you know, just there for fun. That's going to be all for this week's episode. But first, we will have this week's Minor League Baseball Team of the Week.
Yeah, this week's Minor League Baseball Team of the Week is the Tulsa Drillers. They are the minor league baseball team based in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Nice.
And the team, they are in the AA Central and are a AA affiliate of the LA Dodgers. That's like the third or fourth
time. I was about
time.
To say, like, how many times are we going to be doing – I promise this wasn't set up. I promise that this was picked random. You know what? This is like the third time this has happened. I'm just going to stop – you know, explaining it to people and just let people think whatever they want about this.
That's funny.
I'm just going to...
Yeah, that's like the third time we've done that.
Yeah, it's like the third time in like three episodes we've done that. Oh,
man. That's kind of like when you have a Sunday school lesson that goes right along with what the preacher says the same day.
Right.
That's kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're the AA affiliate for the Dodgers. They were previously members of the Texas League before the realignment. They've been with the Dodgers since 2015. They were with the Rangers from 1977 to 2002 and were with the Colorado Rockies from 2003 to 2014.
Interesting.
They were in 75 and 76, they were in Lafayette. So they moved from Lafayette to Tulsa. And Tulsa Drillers fits that perfectly with the oil rigs and stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
They play at One Oak Field. I guess that's how you say it.
Huh.
And they are owned by Dale and Jeff Hubbard. And I don't see anything about mascots or anything.
Oh,
but
really?
But their logo is pretty cool. With this, it's a T with the oil drip at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So if you drive if you drive a Tesla, you might not agree with them and their environmental stance is the opposite of yours. But yeah, that's your minor league baseball team of the week, who once again had ties to somebody we talked about in the weekly score.
In the weekly score again. Yeah, like that's pretty funny. Last episode we talked about the Oakland A's,
yep.
And then we ended up talking about which team did
Midland.
We talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Rockhounds. And then the other time we were talking about Kannapolis, I think. And then we ended up mentioning something about that. So that's like the third time in like three or four episodes that's happened.
That is funny.
That's pretty funny.
That's cool.
For sure.
Well, thank y'all again for listening along with us this week. Enjoy some sports. You got plenty of it to watch right now.
Absolutely.
If you're a sports fan and you're complaining about nothing to watch on TV, your TV's off or you hadn't paid your power bill. So find you some sports to watch. Go tell somebody about Jesus this week. I hope y'all enjoyed the Double Play Devo this week talking about Paul, and know that you can be used as well, that God can use you in any situation that he can see you in. So y'all have a great rest of your week, and we will see y'all next time. Cody, have a good vacation next week, buddy.
Well, thank you, Neil. I really appreciate that, and I hope that you have a really good time next week with whoever you choose to talk to next week, probably Parrish or somebody else.
I just got the confirmation from Parrish.
Oh, you just got confirmation from Parrish?
It'll be me and Parrish on the episode next week. So,
awesome.
Yeah,
sounds good, dude.
Good. Yes, sir. So we'll see y'all next time. Bye.